you're at the gnome.conf.au miniconf, so if you're thinking you were somewhere else, then no, that's not us. We've got lots of cool stuff today. This morning we've got John Stowers talking about Conduit. John is up the back there, heaving. And Rob Bradford talking about GNOME Mobile stuff, OpenMoko and MAMO stuff. Who's actually been browsing the web this morning, collecting email and stuff? Interesting news last night? Nokia just announced that they're in the process of acquiring Froltech, so intriguing stuff in mobile and desktop space. So that should be interesting. Anyway, so what we usually do at the very, very beginning is we go around the room and introduce ourselves without using the phrase just a user, because no one is just a user. Everyone here is a contributor. So let's go around the room and do introductions. In fact, I might even take a microphone around. I'll be all Donahue-like.
Peter from Canberra, and yeah, I've been using GNOME for 2 years.
I'm Paul Eagleton from New Zealand. I'm a developer on the OP project. KDE user, unfortunately, for you guys.
But unfortunate, you're using Freedom.
Hi, I'm Gavin from Vividus, and we use GNOME for video encoding software.
I'm James. I hack on Rhythmbox and a few other things occasionally.
I'm Claire from Perth, and I'm here to hear about OpenMoko and OLPC.
Cool.
G'day, I'm Nigel from Sydney, and I wrote the original implementation of the Deskbar applet.
I'm Rob from Melbourne. I don't use GNOME, and I'm here to steal your ideas.
I'm James from Sydney. Haven't done much.
It's better than just a user.
Graham from Melbourne, just here to have a look.
Pat from Malaysia, just use GNOME for my daily life.
Cool.
Paul from Perth, I've been using GNOME and Debian for about 8 years.
Cool.
I'm Jason from Canberra, and I use GNOME because I can't stand KDE.
Okay.
I'm Ron from Sydney, we're developing a package under GDK+. Plus.
I'm John, I'll be up next. I'm hungover and I'm from New Zealand.
It takes all types.
I'm Michael from Sydney and I'm not currently using GNOME, but GTK is the best cross-platform toolkit there is.
Okay.
Fendi from Melbourne, GNOME newbie.
Hi, I'm Michael from Adelaide and I've been using GNOME since before 0.3.
I'm Steve from Canberra, and I loved Guadec so much when I went, I keep coming back for more known stuff.
Alex from Sydney, I hack on Banshee and GNOME, Mongo.
I'm Jeff from here in Melbourne, and I've done some coding in Python, GTK, and GStreamer.
I'm Craig from the Gold Coast, and yes, I'm just a user at the moment.
I'm Josh from Ballarat, and I'm a recent convert from KDE. I'm currently hacking on some stuff with Clutter.
I'm Sarah from Ballarat, and I'm here to find out some cool stuff.
I'm Cameron from Ballarat, and I still love KDE.
I'm Andy from Melbourne. I'm trying to get the word out about GNOME.
I'm Tim from Ballarat, and I use a Mac.
Good morning. I'm Mick Leppänen from Nokia Finland, and I do mymo.org multimedia.
G'day, I'm Renan from Canberra. I do web development.
I'm Sam from Canberra. I actually use E17, but I thought I'd check out this GNOME thing.
I'm Bernard from Canberra. I'm trying to get Sam to convert back to GNOME.
I'm Michael from Canberra, and I'm interested in learning more about GNOME.
I'm Josh from Tassie, and I'm involved in the GNOME developer kit and do some work with GTK.
I'm Ted from Brisbane, and I submit bug reports and patches occasionally.
Hi, I'm Rob from the UK, and I'm paid to hack on this stuff.
I'm Jeremy from Sydney, and I'm a WordPress hacker, and I love scrolling my mouse wheel on GTK tab bars.
Hi. Hi, I'm James from Perth. I hack on all kinds of things, but not quite as much recently.
Hi, I'm Daniel from Perth, and I'm a student as well as a web developer at Curtin, so I only get to touch Windows.
I'm Daniel from Adelaide, and hopefully I get off my bum and actually write something.
So I'm Carl Wirth. I'm the maintainer of the Cairo Graphics Library.
I'm Jonathan Lang, and I'm not just a user, I'm King User.
I'm Aaron Saigo, from the KD Project, obviously, and here to basically check out some of the cool topics that are on the schedule, PolicyKit in particular.
I'm Kristen, and I've been using GNOME for a couple of years now, and it's pretty good. Better than KDE anyway.
Hi, I'm Hamish. I'm a developer for Debian, and usually I hack on embedded systems with no display at all.
I'm David from Sydney. I've been alternating between GNOME and Fluxbox for the last 10 years or something like that.
Hi, I'm Grant from Sydney. I'm a long-time GNOME user, I suppose. I've tried ICEWM and a few other things like that, but I'm new to GUI development more recently, so that's been interesting.
Thank you.
Now, do we have anyone who snuck in? Ha ha ha. You thought being on this side would let you escape.
Hi, I'm Janine from Melbourne, GNOME user and interested in MAMO and Nokia and that stuff.
Pierre from Sweden, long time GNOME user, occasional developer.
Introduction.
G'day, I'm Benno. Looking at porting GNOME to OKL4.
Excellent. Oh, good try, good try.
Yeah, but...
Hi, what's your opinion on this issue?
I'm all for it.
Okay, excellent. That works as an introduction. Oh, we couldn't possibly skip here.
My name's Brad Hards. I'm a KDE developer.
Joining a few friends in the room. Ah! Intros.
Hi, I'm David.
There's more to you than that.
I once heard a bit of software and no one's ever forgiven me for it.
You're not willing to do an intro? No? Come right in. All right, let's get stuck into it. I have some announcements from the LCA organizers. Gosh, these sound very familiar. If you wish to go to the keynote, you should be there by 8:45 at the latest. Any later and you may miss the proceedings. This one sounds very familiar. Attacks on the network will result in expulsion from the conference. Unpatched OLPCs will bring the network down. Speak to the network team before turning on your OLPC. I have two in my bag, and they've already been checked out. It's all right. It's okay. Sandrine Baobao's tutorial is in the University Usability Lab. Please see the Rego desk for directions. All talks will be recorded and uploaded on a Creative Commons license. Hi, Mom. And you can find lunch on Lygon Street or the local pubs or Union House Food Court. If you have any issues, please go and see the registration desk. One announcement for this session. We have Lightning Talks at the end there, and there's a wiki page linked. Click on Lightning Talks and add a bullet point for your Lightning Talk if you'd like to do one, and we'll leave that open until we actually get to the session. So if you have any ideas or any responses to talks throughout the day, you can do them then. And at this point, I want to hand over to John, who's going to show off Conduit. At the front, there's something approximating power. There's something plugged in that doesn't have anything on the end of it. Whose laptop is that? Oh, right, okay. So you've got power right there. Network if you need it. Wireless sensor written on. You guys don't need the other microphone plugged in, do you? No. Okay.
This is the first time I've used the new Ubuntu. Use my external monitor thing. It's around 1.2, so let's see if it works. Thanks. There's actually this display.
Is this 1.2.4 by 7?
Ah. Rock and roll. Okay. All right. Hi, everyone. My name's John Stowers. I'm from New Zealand. I actually came and gave a similar talk last year at Linux Conf, saying what is Conduit and what I wanted to come and achieve. And I think this is about a year on from that, which makes the project a year and a half old. So I thought I'd explain where I've come and where I think that I can go in the next 6 months and how that will benefit GNOME as a whole and all free desktop in general, I think. But GNOME because I like hacking on it at the moment. So. All right, some of you have probably seen screenshots and whatnot if I blog about it on Planet GNOME frequently enough. Sorry about that. But this is the basic interface. So the concept being that you connect things that you want to synchronize together in a nice graphical way. So for instance, starting with, pick one, I don't know, two folders, which is, so you join them together in this way like this, configure what the two folders would be. Documents, for instance, select that the synchronization should be two-way and file go. That will take a while, so I won't show that as an example. But you can also, instead of just simple two-way syncs between two locations, I've tried to make it easy to expose other scenarios in the UI, so that's one source to many destinations. So that's might not be as common for someone to set up a synchronization like this in the UI, but that's quite common if you think about it as an export case for the whole desktop. So people have got, the one I've been working on recently to try and improve support is for Tomboy and Xbox, and those are, in most cases, export case, it's a one-way thing, for Xbox anyway, so you're uploading to multiple photo sites. So in that way, you set up something like, where are we? You select the tag which you want to sync from FSpot. This is the basic means by which you select photos from FSpot, but it's easy to expose otherwise. And then you connect it up to what you where you want to put the data. So the case I use at home would be you have a tag which is photos safe for my parents, which might go to Flickr, and photos less safe for my parents, which might go to Facebook. So that's the common case I use. And the reason I started to concentrate on SBOT support is that I got sick of SBOT crashing in the middle of my big sync uploads of 100 photos. So, yeah, by taking it out of into out of process into a new application which everyone can then share, you suddenly get that problem goes away and the whole desktop can benefit from whatever things that Conduit supports. So for instance, we've got an Eye of Gnome plugin at the moment as well. So, so if we open up a photo there, we can say, oh, we'll chuck this one on Flickr. Bad example, because Gnome is still running. Demo gods, bad luck. Eye of Gnome seems to hang with my plugin. Anyway, so I'm trying to integrate it into the desktop as a whole, and when I explain that this one source to many locations is not something you might see in the UI, but something useful you might use as an application developer, that's because if I've just uploaded one photo from FSpot, and I'm browsing it in Eye of Gnome or in Nautilus, and I want to go upload it again, it's going to make sure that it's not going to do that, and to only upload the photo once. And in order to do that, in lack of some sort of persistent UUID you can attach to files on a file system which doesn't exist yet, I have to keep a central database of things which I've uploaded and relationships between pieces of data. So it means you don't upload stuff twice. And that's why I think it's important as a desktop service that lots of apps can hook into. Anyway, back to this. So yeah, basically, you would have noticed there's not a lot of PIM synchronization stuff there, phones and whatnot. There's I've got iPod and Nokia N800 support, but that's because those are the devices I have. So I initially started this as an online sync tool, as you see there, and I didn't really start it with PIM goals in mind. It's just that seems to be where people are encouraging me to go, so I'll talk about that a little bit, actually. But predominantly at the moment, it's all online services and desktop applications and bridging the two together. So I just demonstrated that you can sync one or many things. Basically, I wanted to keep it like this so that people can write their own data providers, which is the term I use to describe the module which supports a web service or an application. And I wanted to make it easy for people to actually write their own so that they could accommodate their own crazy Unix use cases, which they feel like doing. So everything's quite, the functionality is separated into the data provider. So as long as you can describe data on a service in terms of a unique ID, you can sync it pretty much. If you can support modification times, that makes things easier, but it's not necessary. Really all you need is a unique identifier and some sort of hash representation of it, so file size or whatever you really feel like. And it's even delegated things like comparison back to the data provider. So the knowledge about how things are stored and what a conflict is the role of the web service. So basically, a lot of the last 6 months has been spent making this as a desktop service, which means working on DBus interface, working on C bindings to that, starting to bring it into using it in desktop applications. I have known for one, Nautilus is a plugin as well, so you can expose like Microsoft briefcase type use cases where you plug in a removable media key and it's synchronized to another location. There's also work going on with the Tomboy and FSpot developers. Unfortunately, when Tomboy shipped their sync stuff, Conduit wasn't ready, so they went ahead and shipped their own sync system. But now, as of in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've become feature parity with that. So fingers crossed, all things going well. At some point, if Conduit gets into GNOME, which is what I'll be proposing for 2.24, we can start to look at moving other applications back to it as their sync engine. And there's also, we'll see how that pans out with the online desktop folks as well. It's a little bit early to predict at the moment, but the other one I've been working on is FSpot. So we've pretty much got support now for all of the things which they were able to synchronize to with the same sort of fidelity, so it'll retain tags and albums and whatnot. And it's also bi-directional, so I didn't actually demonstrate that there, but it's a two-way sync with your Flickr or your Picasa or whatever account you use, which is something which they aren't yet offering. So in the sense of if you're paranoid about your data, then you can always ensure that it's on your local computer and on your web account if that's what you're interested in. And you can even bring data from Flickr to Picasa and back. It's moderately inefficient because it's got to go through your computer, so it goes down and goes back up. But the principle of being able to take your data off these services, if the API allows, means you can feel a little bit more confident if things like that make you nervous. So what was I going to say? Yeah, so where am I going at the moment? I spent about the last month or so getting a native port on Nokia N800. Not me so much as another contributor, but that's actually working at the moment, and that's quite exciting. So that's immediate usefulness for the N800 is photo uploads to any site you support, video uploads to YouTube, and file synchronization over the network, which is another thing which has recently landed as well. So you can take any one of these data providers which I've just described, any one whatsoever, and you can now synchronize it to another computer of yours on the local network. So the easiest, obviously only have one, is anyone else running this? No. And that's, the UI is not yet as clear as what I wanted in terms of how is it discoverable, but the basic idea goes, if I call this computer one with the host, you connect to the thing you want to synchronize, so I'll pick, test is easy, and then you connect it up to this imaginary network data provider here. And now on your other computers on the network, you'll see a new category appear, and this represents this this test source on the first computer. So you can then, if this was, this works quite well with Tomboy Notes now, and this works quite well with Gconf settings. It works well with files, although I wouldn't call it particularly efficient. It's over XML RPC, and it pickles the whole thing up and tars it and sends it over the network and sends it back, and it's not nice for a 200 meg file. But for small things, it works perfectly well. We've had some good success with people synchronizing two FSpot instances over the network as well, which is something which has been much requested in FSpot. So that's pretty cool. And then, yeah, so once it's connected up here, you can just treat it as any other data provider whatsoever, with the one annoying caveat at the moment of you must initiate the sync from the second computer. So this is what I'm not sure how to expose this in the UI without getting too confusing. Because it's not if you expose this one source here and you configure it, then you're not sure if the person on the other end is connected up to one or multiple things, so it's kind of their responsibility to know that, because that's the part of the sync which takes time. So you don't want to give the first computer the ability to freeze the second computer, not freeze the UI, but at least saturate their network connection for 10 minutes while they upload stuff, or while you upload stuff for them. So all these annoying little issues where making it easy, but making it secure in the Linux way, and keeping the user in control. So that's network sync, which is particularly cool. So I've spoken about really working hard at the moment before we start to think about proposing for 2.24 at that time, having it already integrated in the cool apps. But there's some preliminary stuff to do with syncing Rhythmbox and Banshee, but that's not really complete at this stage. For instance, it's only the static playlists, which both Banshee and Rhythmbox support. I might speak to, if there's Rhythmbox developers here, if we can expand the dbus interface a wee bit. And that's not necessarily to say to replace the iPod sync or anything, it's just that for a minimal effort it's easy to do. I already support iPod photos and videos and files and notes and contacts and calendar, and that's through the Python GPod binding. So for me to add music support in a simple-ish way is very little effort, and I think it's if people start to use or in future associate Conduit as the GUI by which they think things, the GUI by which they sync things, sorry, it might be good to be able to offer that within there. I've also started to think about exposing the Conduit so it could use to configure more Unixy sync tools. So there's some preliminary stuff sitting around for rsync support, so you can configure rsync in Unison through the GUI. It doesn't use any of the mechanisms of Conduit, but you can configure it and control it from the dbus interface in the same way. I haven't landed that yet because I'm not sure it's smart at the moment, but it'll probably come in soon. And I'm also thinking I'll probably do my Summer of Code proposal on full OpenSync support in Conduit, at least of the plugins. So the logic of synchronizing stuff in the engine and storing the mappings from one thing to another, that's like if I could say the amount of time I've spent, that would be about the 30% of the time. 70% of the time has actually been on supporting websites, applications. It's really the interfacing with the things. And in that way, OpenStack's already got rich support for SyncML, a lot of PIM-type devices. And that's really the time, and that's the stuff I want to get access to. So we've got some work sitting in the moment. We've had a few attempts now of getting it to use OpenSync plugins natively. We can currently load their, if we write a shim for each and every one of their plugins, we can load them up and use them in Conduit. But the whole idea is that I don't want to have to do that to everything they support. I want it to be a bit more transparent than that. So there's ongoing discussions with them, and that's going to come to something. I'm confident of that. And so that will allow the things that which they support at some time in the future. The other alternative which I'm tossing up is think about how SyncML support might look in GNOME. GNOME phone manager and Bluetooth stuff sort of coming along now, finally. Bluetooth is kind of nice on Linux, which took a while, but I'm almost tempted to try and put a SyncML server in the GNOME phone manager daemon thing, which starts up when your phone's plugged in, and try and support phone synchronization like that, and then other desktop apps could so other GNOME apps could so use that if they wanted to. But yeah, I'm still in discussion. I'll probably think about those two for some of code proposals. And also for the last Ubuntu meeting thing, we had a good discussion there with the Ubuntu developers and the OpenSync developers about how can we make things just work with regard to hardware. So there's some now work going on with SynCE and some other, which is the Windows Mobile project, with writing some HAL callouts, which is the mechanism where you can provide extra information on devices once it's been plugged in, to try and describe what things devices can support synchronizing. So you can start to describe that this phone, of this Nokia phone, supports the following things. At the moment, the way that you find that out is you go to the OpenSUSE wiki and see what things it supports. So I think that can be improved. So that way, and that's a project where we're working with OpenSync. So they're going to be able to have access to that information as well. And so far as if someone plugs in a phone, they can automatically configure this phone only supports contacts, this phone doesn't support calendar, in the same way I can get access to that information. So thank you for Ubuntu for bringing that together so we could have a chat to them there. Yeah, so that's about all. I'd really like to see what people think about this, and I'd really like to get some other people writing data providers to support their things. So for example, the actual amount of effort required to write something which, say, supports, as an example, a guy just updated the YouTube one to use the new Google Data API, and that's all about 100 lines, and then and with that you get, you know, you can synchronize this to a Nokia N800 if I brought it with me. It transcodes the video, it transcodes the audio, it rescales the photos, and suddenly you start to get all this stuff for free. So it's about, I think it's for minimal effort of supporting new data providers, it's quite cool because I think suddenly the whole desktop can benefit from it if we start to use Conduit. There's a half a dozen other online note things which I feel like supporting. I might get around to writing things for. And photos, I think at the moment we support the main ones, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to see or hear of other people using other photo sites for their needs. I think these are like the big six. But yeah, so that's about all. Thank you for listening, everyone. I'd like to take questions and suggestions, anything really. Thanks. Yeah. I was thinking of doing a demo of how to actually write a data provider bell, see what the questions are like first.
Yeah, you're saying you're using
That's right. At the moment, I've just got a SQLite database, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like everything that's transferred for that
user? It doesn't actually store the data. It just stores the mapping between unique identifiers. Yeah.
So, that's kind of starts with those
interfaces? At the moment, yeah. The proper solution to this problem, I believe, at the moment, is we could do it another way with a lot more reliability if we could attach some sort of universally unique identifier that's persistent to data types between moves and copies. So there's like extended attributes and stuff, but no one seems to really use it in this way. Beagle uses it to mark when it's indexed things, and I think I want to do the same thing to store the relationships out in the file. I'm not sure if that's smart or not, I'm still thinking about it, but that might be cleaner and that would get rid of the data, the DB problem.
Yeah,
Yeah, I forgot to show that actually. Yeah, so at the moment, if there's a conflict which is shown, you get a basic, you get this window pop up here. Obviously, test data, it's a little bit boring, but, and from that, you then resolve the direction which you want to do. So, because this is a one-way sync, and it knows that this one doesn't actually support the concept of delete, the only options are overwrite or ignore. But the available options are relative to what this device supports and what the thing supports. There's I've got at the moment the main way in which if you want to inspect that more. So if there's a real perhaps a real one here would be conflict command. Okay, flag. It basically opens it in the UI. So for instance, if you have two conflicting Tomboy notes, it'll open Tomboy to preview them. Two conflicting files, it'll open Nautilus. Well, it's a two-step comparison. So the first thing you do is you bring in what all the information both sides has. You look for changes. And if two things have both changed, that's the easy one to detect, and that's you fire that off straight away before you try and move data around. The other case is you delegate the responsibility of detecting a conflict to the thing you're putting it in. So for instance, if a sync hasn't existed and you're just trying to put one file into a folder with one of the same name, at the point where it goes into that folder, this data provider has all the information to know, and it knows, well, I haven't put anything before, but there's already a file here, so it's already got the information available to say this is a conflict situation. So it just raises an exception, says this is a conflict, and it comes back up in the same way. So yeah, it's a two-stage process. The first one's easy to detect. The second one, you have to think about what a conflict means in every data provider. Is it really a conflict if you try and put the same photo twice in Flickr? Is it really a conflict in all these cases? So you delegate that responsibility to the actual thing you're supporting. I think in the calendar case, I would be happy if I didn't have to solve that problem and evolution solved it for me. To be honest, like contacts perhaps a little bit more disparate with phones and stuff, but with a calendar, if some people, it's something we usually only have one of. In the Google Calendar case, I really just wish that it was, and it is a support in evolution at the moment, I think. I would be happy to not have to deal with that problem. Our current support of Google Calendar Google Calendar and Evolution Calendar works, but there's all of the annoying to test cases with recurring appointments and stuff, which is, I wouldn't really call it bug-free at this point. It works, and Google provides a nice API that I can get all the information I need, but it's just testing all the myriad of calendaring scenarios. And so when I say I wish it wasn't my problem to solve, I wish Google just opened up like CalDAV support on Google Calendar or something, and then we could all just use that, or someone did. But whatever, what's the saying? You can't move mountain to Muhammad, you must go to the mountain. I might just support it at some point. Thanks.
On the post, you can see that from the graph, and it works on my laptop.
I think, it's the same problem, I think, for the network sync case in general. Like, if files are separate enough that I think it's worth spending time thinking about a good file-based solution, where it might, which is a lot more efficient than my current XML RPC and picking things up and sending them off thing. I don't know what that is yet, but yeah, I agree. It should be done differently for the file case, a bit smarter. Yeah. Because then I'd just have a toolbar with one button on it, and I thought that looked ugly. It would take up like 10% of my GUI space for one button. I don't know. I've got file synchronized all, and you can do it from the tray icon, but yeah, I know what you mean. It was there, and I just thought it looked weird, so I took it out. I've also got support at the moment for automatically up to date, which is here's a good example for that. Data providers can say, well, I've got new information, go sync. That's one way. The other way is I'm not really in the Unixy tradition. I don't really think it's my role to make Conduit hook into at that level of the system. But there is, however, a command line client for Conduit. Which you can use to configure new syncs and start existing syncs in the GUI. So if you want to set something which fires that script off when an event happens, that's one simple solution. The other one is you add support for the always up-to-date concept in whatever thing you are syncing. So at the moment, it's supported in Tomboy and SBOT and files through GNOME.vfs. If it was another case where you plug in a piece of hardware and it notices that it goes away and comes back, yeah, it could be added in that way as well. But yeah, there's two scenarios. One's a control conduit from a command line client, and the other one is fix the data providers for each case. So, yeah. Cool. So what else can I show you? Basically, it's shiny here. I didn't mention before, we've recently also got support for transcoding things. So if I want to call out, please help me to any GStreamer hackers here. I'm currently using FFmpeg or Mencoder to do video and music transcoding because it seemed to just work. I could at least read the docs for Mencoder, and while I might not really understand all 1,000 command line arguments, there seems to be 1,000 people which have used it to transcode videos for their PSP. So if someone can come up with something the same for GStreamer where, or at least help me write a nice generic converter, then I'll be more than helpful. But I'd like to support known technologies, and I definitely don't want to depend on FFmpeg or Mencoder for my transcoding needs if it's not necessary. Makes it annoying for the distros if they want to actually ship Conduit in a useful form to do media synchronization. What else have I got? So I'll show you the up-to-date stuff. Gentlemen, you asked about the database before. Because this is a debug build, you can actually see there. This is a listing of all of the mappings, so-called. So for instance, this says that for this gconf data provider with the unique identifier of this, that's related to a folder in this location with this file name, and we basically store that for every relationship between two pieces of data. But we'll clear that because it's not really interesting. A lot of the stuff's in SVN as well, and for instance, the Tomboy support and the SBOT support both requires SVN versions of both those applications and of Conduit itself. So hence these random little buttons here. So, the simple use case, we support all of the known VFS stuff, so if you feel like doing your folder sync or your notes or whatever you're using to another VFS volume, then that should work as well. I think there's a few annoyances with I have to work. Is there a list of what are the invalid characters in all the file systems somewhere? I really like if that list exists. You know, this character can't be in the file name on this particular file system. He is? Yeah, because I just stole some code from Rhythmbox, which had a list of, or from Soundjuice or something, which had a list of the invalid things. I was like, it should be somewhere. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to, with bated breath, the death of known VFS and the rise of GIO for two reasons. One, I've got the GUI going on Windows, but it's kind of useless without decent VFS support. And yeah, I don't really like known VFS. You should see the file and the transfer class. There's so many hacks there to detect all of the different errors it throws with no reason half the time. And the other one is it does escaping really inconsistently of file names. But I'm not here to bitch about known VFS. So you can see that Tomboy says that's we've got new data to sync now. So if we synchronize that, that's brought it into a folder. It's a folder of XML files. It's the same approach that Tomboy sync takes at the moment. So in one regard, it's duplicating the functionality completely. In the other one, I think it's better, because if we're going to be able to propose this, then we need to support what they do with no changes. So now if we see go create a new node and blah, blah, blah. So it should detect that. And so you can, somebody works it out. Yeah, so it pushes that out to the other remote volume, and that can be anything. That can be another computer on the network. So it's really exciting because I've built quite a general thing now. So the concepts of always up to date and conversion and transcoding apply through the network, through another computer. I mean, it's sufficiently general now that I think it's really useful. I'm looking forward to the arguments and flame wars on DDL when I do propose it to see how that goes. That is the end. So thank you very much for listening. Like I say, it's quite easy to hack on, and everyone says that about their own project, but I think it is. I hack on it for fun because I have to do C++ at work, so it's in Python. It's a nice example of a PyGTK app. People are starting to take bits from it now. So everyone, thanks a lot, and go ahead and play.